Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women Oral History 2. Bessie Hyman and Gertrude Silverblatt are interviewing James A. Frank on December 3rd, 1975 at his office in the Frick Building. Sorry, it's moving, but it didn't seem to play. Mr. Frank, tell me about your family, your forefathers. You want to start with your parents and go back to your grandparents and so forth? Or do you want to start with your great-grandparents and come forward?
Well, you want to cut that off one second?
Mr. Frank, first tell me of your own birth date. Where and when were you born?
I was born in Pittsburgh, November 29th, 1918.
Now, tell me about your parents and your grandparents, when they were born and so forth. If you care to refer to your notes, by all means, do so.
In connection with the bicentennial celebration, 200th birthday of our country, I was asked a few questions several months ago in terms of the family's early arrival in Pittsburgh, and I summarized some notes at that time which might be helpful. The first ancestor who was a Frank that came to this country was William Frank, who was born in 1819 in Bavaria. William Frank at an advanced age wrote informal memoirs of his life.
At what age?
Well, he was about 70 or 75 when he wrote it. I could I have the exact date in the memoirs themselves. And from those memoirs, we get a picture of his early life in Bavaria as originally a cobbler, and how he didn't like that, and he ran away from home and became a weaver. And ultimately, at the age of about 21, he worked his way to the French coast and booked passage on a sailing vessel for the United States. His memoirs say that the crossing was 49 days, arrived in New York, and goes on to relate his early days as a peddler, picking up supplies in Philadelphia, and ultimately moving across by stage into Ohio, and being in business there with a Mr. Strasburger, S-T-R-A-S-B-U-R-G-E-R, whose great-grandson Raymond still lives in Pittsburgh. They were partners in Ohio in the dry goods business. And during that period, William Frank met his bride-to-be, Pauline Wormser, in Lancaster, PA, and married her. And they moved to Pittsburgh in 1845.
Is that when they were first married?
No, they were married and living in Ohio prior to that. Memoirs go on to relate his experiences in business in Pittsburgh, first in the dry goods business, and ultimately in the manufacture of glass bottles. The one you see up on the cabinet is one of the more common type bottles that he made. This was a canning jar, as it was called, the type that he sold to Mr. H.J. Hines, the original. Mr. Hines buying such bottles for bottling his early produce. And the story goes that William Frank sold him a chip basket of bottles per week his total requirement at that time. The manufacturer of these bottles and many other types went on out what is now 2nd Avenue, about 4 or 5 miles from downtown Pittsburgh. The site, because of the plant, became known as Frankstown, and this was a stop on the railroad at that time, and it was known as the Frankstown stop. This had no relationship to the Frankstown we know today, or Frankstown Avenue, or Frankstown Road, which were named after a Jewish Indian trader by the name of Franks. He continued in this glass business until the factory burned down in 1874. In addition, the memoirs relate his activities in the philanthropic and civic field, including a statement that he founded the Hebrew Benevolent Society, which evidently was the first organized Jewish charitable organization.
Do you know what year he founded?
These dates are all in the memoirs if you want me to get them out.
I think it would be interesting to know what, when that was founded.
The move to Pittsburgh occurred in 1846, and I see you're not in 1845. And he says that in 1847, Louis Jaroslawski, he spelled it J-A-R-A-S-L-O-W-S-K-Y, Louis Jaroslawski and I started the Hebrew Benevolent Society, and it has been kept up under that name until this date. Date that he wrote these memoirs. Incidentally, William Frank died in 1891.
What became of the Benevolent Society? What is the, is that part of the UJF now?
I haven't tracked that down. What his succeeding name was. Well, there's the Hebrew Burial Society. Hebrew Free Loan are beneficiaries of UJF.
How many children did he have?
And you're catching me without my papers. I can give you exact answers to some of these. I'd rather give exact answers than guessing. I have all that here that's of interest. William Frank and Pauline Wormser Frank had 5 children. Hyman.
Have their birth dates?
Yes. Hyman was born in 1845 and died in 1890, having married Bertha Blitz. Samuel was born in 1848 and died in 1906, having married Henrika Klein. Julia was born in 1851 and died in 1928, having married Moses Oppenheimer. And you know the present Oppenheimer family here is descended from Moses Oppenheimer. Abraham, the 4th child, was born in 1853 and died in 1928. And his wife was Hannah Ullman. They were affectionately known as a banana. And finally, youngest child was Isaac William Frank, my grandfather, who was born in 1855 and died in 1930. He married Martini Klee. My grandmother was born in 1883. No, that's wrong. She was born in 1860. They were married in 1883, and she died in 1945.
Is there anything else you would like to tell us about your great-grandfather? Or would you like to go on about your grandfather?
Well, the bottle business, it was one of the early bottle factories of Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh was the center of glassmaking in the United States in those days. We have done quite an extensive history of the factory by diligent search in the county records in order to find out where the plant existed, and when it was built, and when it burned down, and who his partners were. During much of that time, his brother-in-law Ephraim Wormser was a partner. The company was known as William Frank and Sons, and he had three of his sons in business with him.
Was your grandfather one of the sons that was in business?
No, he wasn't. We were coming to him. One of his sons, Hyman, was an engineer and inventor, and I have copies of several patents that were issued in the early days, namely 1872, early days of the patent office. These patents covered design of furnaces for melting glass and tools for forming internal threads in some of the bottles that they made. They had glass stoppers with threads, so they all had to have internal threads for that. And he was very innovative, and their plant was considered quite modern. The collecting of bottles today has become big business. The family records show that whereas William Frank sold his bottles for about $8 a gross, the recent widely publicized auction sale of bottles in Massachusetts included the sale of a single Frank bottle for $340. In my own collection numbers probably 70 or 80 bottles, and it covers not only the canning jar which you see up there, but whiskey bottles, medicine bottles, brandies, fancy back bar bottles, and the like. And today, about every few months, I acquire another one through friends nationally that are digging bottles in the West and in the South.
Did your great-grandfather ever go into any other business after the bottling business?
To my knowledge, no.
And tell us about your grandfather.
Let me add just one more thing. The memoirs of William Frank were published by the Jewish Archives. Dr. Marcus requested permission from the family, and it's now been published in one of his three volumes, Memoirs of Early American Jews. I guess that's not the exact title. Have that title if you want it later. Before we go to his son, Isaac Frank, my grandfather, it might be interesting to note that his wife, William Frank's wife, Pauline Wormser Frank, was one of a very large family, and we have, in recent months, acquired a great deal of detail about her family, the early Wormsers. Elizabeth Plaut, P-L-A-U-T, is the wife of a rabbi in Toronto today, and she is a great-granddaughter of Pauline Wurmser Frank, who was my great-grandmother. So she looked me up through the good offices of Rabbi Jacob, and we have exchanged notes on the early Wurmser family. She has traveled widely in her search and done an extensive job of acquiring information in Israel and elsewhere.
Do you have her name and address?
Elizabeth, and he spelled that last name.
P-L-A-U-T, Elizabeth Pout. And I do have her address. We can give it to you later.
Could you give it to me now?
Mrs. Elizabeth Pout, her address is 46 Rydell Avenue, R-I-D-E-L-L-E, Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Thanks.
Based on her research and her extensive correspondence with relatives, distant relatives around the world, she is putting together an extensive chart of the Wurmser family. But preliminary indication is that she has traced her family back, and because her great-grandmother and my great-grandmother were sisters, we have common ancestors back beyond that. She's gotten it back to 1580, a man by name of Yehuda Loeb Guggenheim. He lived in Guggenheim, and he moved to Worms, Bavaria, W-O-R-M-S, before 1605. Four generations lived in Worms, and she traces it down through Jacob Abraham, who was born in 1719, to Abraham Wurmser, who was the first one to take that name from the city, who was born in 1775 or 1785, has not been clarified yet. And then this is traced on down to the Wurmsers that came to this country, which was the generation of my great grandmother.
Now,
can
we go on to your grandfather?
Yeah. It's interesting that Isaac W. Frank was born in 1855, perhaps through his interest in his father's manufacturing business, decided he wanted to be an engineer, and he studied at the Western University of Pennsylvania, which is now the University of Pittsburgh, and then he went on to Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute at Troy, New York, where he received a degree in civil engineering in 1876. He graduated with honors and was a member of the Sigma Xi Honorary Society. He, upon leaving engineering college, went through a number of positions in engineering and drafting, civil engineering, including the Keystone Bridge Company. And then he went and worked on the early New York Elevated Railway as a draftsman. He then went with the U.S. Geodetic Survey and worked near Vicksburg, Mississippi as a surveyor, and then out to Leadville, Colorado as a deputy U.S. Mineral Surveyor, and back east where he worked for the Richmond and Allegheny Railway as Assistant Engineer of Bridges. And then he became interested in the manufacturing of rolls and rolling mill equipment. He became the secretary and engineer of the Lewis Foundry and Machine Company. In 1892, with Edward Neeland, he founded the Frank Neeland Machine Company, which was located at that time out 54th Street on the Allegheny River. It was during that period, of the 1890s, that after the formation of Frank Neeland Machine Company, that because of his specialty in rolling mill machinery, he was commissioned by the J.P. Morgan interest to survey the existing sheet mills of the United States. The recorded history of the succeeding company shows that he was paid $70,000, which was a lot of money in those days, to take options on a number of factories around the U.S. And this study, which he made for J.P. Morgan interest, became one of the bases for the formation of the U.S. Steel Company. This is all documented, not in any notes of his, but in the history of the United Engineering and Foundry Company. The Frank Neeland Machine Company, as I mentioned, was formed in 1892, and following that, he was associated with the Moores in the formation of the American Sheet Steel Company, which is now part of the United States Steel Company. The Frank Neeland Machine Company continued to grow, and by 1901, Isaac Frank put together an amalgamation of a group of manufacturers of rolling mill and steel mill equipment, and became the founder and first director, founder and first president of the United Engineering and Foundry Company. So 1901.
Whom did Isaac Frank marry, and how many children did he have?
He married Teeny Clee.
When?
In 1883. And they had three children, Mrs. S.J. Bessie Anathan, my father, William Clee Frank, and my uncle, Robert J. Frank.
Do you have the dates of their birth?
I can look it up. I do have it. Do you want it now? United Engineering and Foundry Company became, in the succeeding years, the world's leading manufacturer of rolling mill equipment. There are detailed histories written of that company, and it shows a very interesting growth and a very interesting insight into the character of Isaac Frank.
Was Isaac Frank interested in charities?
Yes, he was very active in philanthropic work. And,
what type of philanthropic work?
I can give you all the names of them later, if you like. Do you want them now?
I would like to know some of the things that he has remembered.
Or you asked about religious work. He served for many years on the board of the Rhode Shalom Congregation, which elected him honorary trustee after he served this long term. This must have been very dear to him because in the memoirs of his father, William Frank, it is clearly shown that William Frank was the first president of Rhode Shalom. William Frank states that he named it Rhode Shalom because they had been feuding all day. The group of Beth Sholem that wanted a Polish reader and those that wanted a German reader. So by the end of the day, he said, we really were seeking peace, so I named it Rhode Shalom. This is documented in the history of the temple. The only early records of the temple, apparently, are the memoirs of William Frank. Much of it was lost in the fire of the early temple.
Do you know when the date of the early fire?
I have it all here in the records of Rhode Shalom. You can get it for later.
Was temple the only interest that Isaac Frank had, other than his business?
He served on the boards and the following boards, either as a director and also in some cases as an officer, the Iron Coffin Settlement, Montefiore Hospital, Gusky Orphanage, Pittsburgh Association for the Improvement of the Poor, which must have been close to his heart also because his mother, Pauline, was a founder and until her death on the board of the Pittsburgh Association for the Improvement of the Poor. We have pictures of her in her 90s, and she was still doing work for that charitable organization. He also served on the board of the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, American Jewish Committee, and many others. He was active in the general community. He was on the board of the Chamber of Commerce in its early days. He was vice chairman of the Pittsburgh chapter of American Red Cross, member of the Western Pennsylvania Engineers Society, president of the Pittsburgh Employers Association, Pittsburgh Foundrymen's Association, and so forth.
How many children did he have?
Well, I mentioned the three that Isaac Frank had.
Well, can you tell us something about James Frank, your father?
My father was William Frank.
William Frank, excuse me.
Do I have these in the right order? Bessie is the oldest.
William K. Frank, William Clee Frank. My father, William K. Frank, was born in 1890 in Pittsburgh. Studied at Shadyside Academy and went on to the engineering college at Cornell University. Received a degree in mechanical engineering in 1911, and upon graduation went to work for his uncle, William Clee, in the Damascus Bronze Company, which was located on the north side of Pittsburgh.
Whom did he marry?
My mother was Florence Kingsbacher, who was born in 1892. And died in 1940.
Where did she go to school?
She, I don't remember the name of the high school, but she went on and graduated from the Pennsylvania College for Women, which is now Chatham College. My father left Damascus Bronze to join Copperweld Steel Company, which is now Copperweld Corporation. And assumed the position of Vice President of Production and Manufacturing, and ultimately became Chairman of the Board and Chairman of the Executive Committee of Copperweld.